Welcome in, everyone. Another episode of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. Listen, I'm going to be honest. We do not have a lot of time. Busy week. Lots going on. Lots to discuss. So I'm going to be quick. This is going to be a really good episode. We're going to have a really good time. There's so many key things to discuss, so many things to talk about, and a subject that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, getting fired in the nonprofit space. Real fast, make sure you follow us on Instagram, share this episode, with at least one friend. We're getting more and more people listening to the podcast. You might know someone in your world that would benefit from listening to the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. Share this episode, because if there was an episode to share, this might be the episode to do it, if there was ever an episode. So be sure to share with your friends and leave a review. March is coming up, and honestly, the only gift I'm looking for is podcast reviews. I'm going to be reaching to my database, trying to get people to leave me reviews as a birthday gift. So that's the only gift that I'm going to be asking for. LinkedIn, Instagram, all that jazz. Let me start with this. Getting fired, it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. And despite it not being a major part of the workforce as a whole, it's not entirely uncommon. At any given time, the private sector fires about 1% of their workforce every year. But 40% of Americans have reported being fired at least once in their lifetime, according to a 2023 Harris poll that came out 2 years ago. So even though 1% of people are getting fired every year, a large percentage of us know what it's like to get fired. Now, it might have been you got fired from your Dairy Queen job at 18. You were smoking weed in the back. You had to go, you know, or maybe you were skimming the books and you got canned. You know, the level of fire can vary. So getting fired doesn't have to be the end of the world, but it still fucking sucks. And I reached out to you all. I reached out to the Insider Network because this is a topic, like I said earlier, that's been on my mind for at least a year. I think it was last year I posted on Instagram a video of, should I talk about a video of getting fired? It was something else. I can't even remember. I have to reshare that on stories. And a lot of people said they wanted the other thing, but we had a lot of people that wanted to hear about getting fired. And look, because 15 minutes is not enough for a topic of this brevity, you can expect another episode. I might release the part two episode maybe later this week, maybe next week, maybe in 4 weeks. It doesn't matter. It's going to be happening. I've got some, I got an amazing interview dropping with Jen Tudor. She's the development director at Conserving Carolina. So I got that dropping 2 weeks after this for sure. But I might drop that second episode. So I just kind of want to throw that out there. And I had a shocking number of people reach out to me. So just know that all the names have been changed. I had basically put on Instagram, hey, if you've been fired from your job in the nonprofit space, I want to hear. I had about six people, about half a dozen people reach out to me with stories that will blow your mind. I mean, that would really blow your mind. And I want to get into a story here in about 4 or 5 minutes here from someone that reached out to me. We're going to call them Jason. Look, a big distinction we need to set first and foremost is we're not talking about getting laid off. We are talking about getting fired. And that's a big difference. And one of the things is in the nonprofit sector is known for three key things. And I want to add a level of distinction between those before we get into the story of this person getting fired. The nonprofit first is known for high turnover. People come and go in the nonprofit space at pretty high rates. Now, it's not like working in the fast food industry or hospitality. It's not that high. But it's very well known that in the nonprofit sector, people come in, people go out. Various reasons for that. You all know the key reasons. We talk about it here on the podcast. I'm not going to get into it. But high turnover is one thing. That's one part of the equation. The second thing the nonprofit space is really known for is that year over year, for the last 10 years, there has been a big increase in job vacancy rates in the nonprofit world. AKA, There are jobs that are open in the sector, but for a multitude of reasons, they are not being filled. Again, there are plenty of reasons. And some of those reasons are at the fault of the sector. Some of those are at the fault of the nonprofit space. And some of those are not at the fault of the nonprofit space. But there are a lot of open jobs, and a lot of people are not filling those jobs. It could be for location reasons, pay reasons. It could be any number of reasons. Education could be kind of lax, whatever the case may be. And the third thing a lot of people know the nonprofit sector for, and this is happening a little bit more and more, funny enough, and it's almost counterbalanced to the job vacancy, a lot of job freezes. There are a lot of moments where nonprofits will do freezes, some long-term and some short-term, where you have someone that's in a role, they leave that role, and you may not, maybe normally you'd hire that role after 4 months, 5 months. Now you're waiting 7 months, 8 months. You're waiting 9 months, 10 months to hire that role because maybe you have other people doing the job, which is a whole nother conversation we could have of people in the nonprofit space working multiple roles. Or it could be one of those things, you want to save some money, right? You know, if you're paying a role $70,000 and you can avoid paying $60,000 of that for a couple of months, well, you know, let's just wait a little bit. Let's just wait a little bit. So the nonprofit sector is known for a lot of those things. But one of the things the nonprofit sector is not really known for is firings. You don't hear that happening as much in the nonprofit sector, but it does happen. And I want to share a story I received from a nonprofit insider that I felt really dove in to what it's like to work in the nonprofit space, deal with toxic cultures, deal with less than ideal environments, and get fired from those spaces. Because it happens. And there are a lot of different aspects to being in the nonprofit space. I talk about this all the time. It's not all peaches and rainbows. There was just an interview I just had with Jessica Pang Parts. We talk about a lot of people think the nonprofit space is just, it's feel good, it's mission, it's warm hearts, it's open arms. And a lot of those things are true because it kind of goes back to the idea of what's the mission? What are we trying to do to improve the world? But it's still a working environment. And when you have 10% of the workforce that are working in that nonprofit space, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have issues. And a lot of times those lead to people going their separate ways. People may quit. People may have to get laid off. Businesses, organizations, nonprofits may shutter. They may close. But a lot of people can get fired in this space. So let me share this story that I received. And again, I want to let it first be known that this person was compensated. One of the things I'm trying to do here at the Nonprofit Insider Podcast is I'm trying to make sure I compensate people for their time. It's not a lot. I'll be honest. It's not a lot. You know, we're not giving out the... We're not rolling out the red carpet and sending limos to people's houses to bring them on the show like a talk show in the 90s. I'm not there yet. I'm not that big. But being able to compensate people for their time, even if it's 5, 10, 15, even if it's $20, I'm just going to try to keep doing that. So this person was compensated and they reached out to me and they sent me a really good breakdown of this story. So there was a person that was working. We're going to call him Jason. We're going to call him Jason. There was a person, Jason, that was working with a veterans and homeless nonprofit, and they wanted to work in this space. This is what they were telling me. They said they wanted to work in this space because they had a family to take. They had a family member, They had a family member that took their own life after three tours overseas during one of the most recent wars of the last 20 years. I'm not going to give too much information out. But you probably could figure out where they did a bunch of tours and this person, and they took their own lives. And so Jason was motivated to work in this veteran space, even though they themselves were not a military member. All right, you with me? So he's working with this group and he wasn't working there super, super long, but he's working with this group and he says he's doing up to like six different jobs. He's the social media manager, the special events coordinator, the volunteer manager, in-kind donor manager. I mean, just like a litany of different roles. Again, part of the reason why we see high turnover, just a litany of different roles that this one person, Jason, was doing. So Jason goes on to tell me that they have a national office and they have a local office, this veterans group. And maybe they're federated, maybe they're not. He doesn't really say, which is totally fine. I know I've worked for organizations that have national offices and local offices and they're federated. And then I've also worked for some that are not federated. So, it doesn't really matter. But he's creating operations. He's setting up operations for this organization, working hard, doing the job, believing in the mission, right? Again, this person has a family member that committed suicide. I mean, you really can't have someone be any more connected to a mission when you have a true personal story like that. And the fact that they themselves were not a military member, but said, I want to work in this space. I mean, people like that, you want people like that every day of the week and twice on fucking Sundays. The people like Jason are the people you really want. So he's setting up different operations, and he says that the national team likes the work that he's doing, and the local team likes the work that he's doing, but it's the direct management that he could never please. And that's where you get the conflict that starts, right? So one of the things is when I had insiders reach out to me saying they were interested in sharing their stories or allowing me to share their stories, I pretty much asked them the same five questions. And so the very first question I asked this person was if they could walk me through the circumstances leading up to their dismissal. You already see where this is going, right? They're doing work. The people around them like the work, but the direct management, the people that quote unquote sign the checks, give you the reviews, the people that you're supposed to be reporting to, they didn't like the work that he was doing. So Jason is in the office. He tells a story that I think is a catalyst for the demise. He's in the office one day and he hears his director talking about him in the office. And the director, she thought no one was around. So he announces himself because he doesn't want to eavesdrop. He's not trying to eavesdrop or anything like that. So once he hears the boss talking, he's like, hey, I'm here, I just announced him. So that's a courtesy, a professional courtesy. He's a professional. And after announcing himself, the director and him, they talk for, he says, 60 minutes. They talk for an hour with the director attempting to apologize because that director was bad-mouthing them to another coworker. Never good. I mean, you talk about, we already kind of had some yellow flags, but now you're talking about some red flags. I mean, you're talking about me behind my back in a negative light. That's not good for the culture. That's not good for me. So Jason, he brings this up with the executive director, and the executive director told him that he and the director should meet and kind of basically figure out this squabble. But at that point, Jason, he tells the executive director, and this is a quote directly from him. He tells the director, quote, that our trust had been broken and that he would like the ED to facilitate. He says, that never happened. That never happened. A few months go by. And I want to read this next part because I think this is... I want to make sure I do this justice because it's just so important. So he says, and I quote, a few months went by. Every time I produced an event or had a volunteer action or produced a document for the organization, every little detail would be scrutinized and characterized as a complete failure, no matter the overall outcome of the event. I was leading a national organization with volunteers and engagement and taking on more work every month. It didn't matter to him. I was working overtime, but unpaid, which, side note, illegal. Wage theft is considered to be the biggest form of theft in the American workforce. So he says, and I quote, I continue, I was working overtime, but unpaid, and hadn't taken advantage of the generous 30-day, no questions asked PTO they provided. It was August, and volunteer events were stacking up through the end of the year. Another coworker who works closely with volunteers and I got together to plot out the 20 days. So he goes to management. So I'll stop there. He says he goes to management, tries to get to the PTO. And he says, when presented to the management, they call it some type of scheme. And it was very, quote, very millennial of me to take all my PTO, whatever that means. Even though this is a no questions asked veterans focused nonprofit, they could take PTO however they want. And so he says, my director and I are both millennials. So that doesn't make sense. how can that be very millennial? We're both millennials. He says they finally dragged their feet and approved the PTO, and they gave him 5 days and his coworker 15 days. I mean, you can just see where this is going, right? He's getting railroaded. He's getting blocked. He's being put in a position that is just not ideal. I wanted to stop right here from Jason's story just a bit, just a little bit of a pause. Got another 15, 20 minutes in today's episode. I think you're really going to like it. Isn't it good? And remember what I said earlier, if there was ever an episode you wanted to share, this is the episode. This is the one. Getting fired in a nonprofit space is real deal. It's not fun. It's not talked about a lot. So listen, do me a favor. Hit that share button. Share it to one friend that you know. Maybe you have a former coworker, right? You used to work with, you were besties with, they moved on to a new job, you moved on to a new job. Share this episode with them. We would love it. My birthday's coming up. Do me a favor. Go ahead and leave a review. You've known me for some time. You've listened for some time. Leave a review. I would love that. All right, let's get back to Jason's story, because my oh my, it just, you know, I'm not going to say anymore. Let's continue. So this is a very pivotal part, because I want to make sure I highlight this, because this is going to be important. He says, and he goes on to say, quote, they fired me when I came back from the 5-day PTO leave. Not cool. I asked for a reason and the ED said, quote, end quote, for the reasons we discussed in the employee review in June. It was only October. I had had no further up meetings or reviews since then. Zero warning. To add insult to injury, a veteran transitioning from a career in the military into the private sector had been placed with us 6 weeks before I was fired. He goes on to say he was basically essentially training this person for 6 weeks to do their job. He asks, hey, she's really good. Can we hire her, this person? Can we bring her on? Nah, we're not gonna bring her on. He gets fired. They promote her to his job a month later, and then hire a second person a month after that. So he was almost like a scapegoat. He was the person like, hey, I'm doing this work. I'm trying to do it. We've got people here. Can we hire this person full time, make them a full time position, not like a partial or anything like that? And so they do it after he leaves. So one of the questions I asked, remember, I asked those five questions to people. And the second question I asked is, if I asked Jason to describe how he felt immediately after hearing the news, it was being canned, what emotions surfaced. And he was quite transparent. He said he was stunned. And I want to read this part verbatim as well. And then I'm start giving my thoughts here. He says, quote, emotionally after hearing the news, I was stunned. I had just gotten back from the PTO and our plane arrived late that night. I didn't get to bed till 3 a.m. on Sunday night. So I was already dragging that Monday morning. Him and his wife were going to a family event. He said he really couldn't mount a defense, but they insisted it was final. And so he goes on to say his wife had been let go from his job earlier in the year. She has special health care needs and medication. He was the only healthcare provider for, I assume, his wife, and he was the only full-time income as well. They just bought their first house and a car earlier in the year. You know, like making a lot of big boy adult decisions for him and his family. And he was just like, flat, boom, got 2 weeks severance pay and healthcare, but he had to get the COBRA. The COBRA health is when you get healthcare after you're let go from a job. But he says, you know, all the unemployment he was getting was going into the health care. So he had to go without it until he get back on Obamacare in January. So about a 3-month space where he's getting, I assume, health care or unemployment benefits. And he's using that to basically buy health care. And we know how health care in America is. It's fucked. I mean, there's just no way around it. Healthcare in America is fucked. Every single person agrees with that. And so he's using what resources he has to try to make ends meet. I don't want to ask him other questions such as, you know, looking back, do you feel there are any warning signs or did this come as a complete shock? He gave me some insight saying, yeah, of course, you know, there are some warning signs, but he was never warned that he was on the hot seat. I think that that's an important piece I'm going to talk about here in about 2-3 minutes. But out of everything, he said something in the final question. The final question I ask every single person is there anything else about your dismissal you would like to share with our audience? And I said, you know, feel free to share or to address this directly to the nonprofit sector or nonprofit workers and nonprofit leaders. And Jason didn't hold back. He said, and I quote, and this was honestly so pivotal. He said, start organizing a union at your organization today. As someone who has worked long hours for little pay for a lot of causes, it's time we stop exploiting ourselves and take a longer view of the mission. I thought my organization had a great benefit package to make up for the nonprofit pay, and they had the right attitude towards PTO and mental health, but that changed quickly when new local management was brought in. It was all talk. Also, document all spoken microaggressions and save emails in real time. I was also going to ask for a meeting with HR the day I was fired, but it was too late. I wish I had gone to them sooner because they seem to care about our well-being, the HR that is. That may be different at each workplace, though. Form a union and have a union rep negotiate with management because they are on your side, not management. I've often talked and listen, I have three major takeaways from Jason's story. This isn't one of them, but I've often talked about how I'm surprised in the nonprofit space there isn't more talk of unions and unionization. It definitely is something that exists out there and something I would love to see just a little bit more because there are a lot of people in the nonprofit space that really do give a lot. And because the idea of caring for the mission is so pivotal in the nonprofit space, I think there are a lot of nonprofit workers that do get taken advantage of. I mean, he said he was working overtime and getting unpaid. Illegal. I mean, unless he's salary, and I assume he's not salary, or he would not have mentioned that he was not being paid for working overtime. So look, I have three major takeaways, and I could honestly have talked about Jason's story. So real fast, Jason, big shout outs to you for sharing this story. I really appreciate you being vulnerable. He is like, hey, you could definitely share my story if I remain anonymous. And I was like, 100%. I'm definitely, that's the one thing I do here at the Nonprofit Insider. If you're an insider, I'm always going to respect what you say and desire. So I was never going to share this anyway. This is always going to be anonymous, but he was very candid and open to something I'm sure is a very big piece of his life. And I want to, he gave me a follow up. I'll talk about that follow up here in a second. But I have three major takeaways from Jason's story I want to talk about before getting here. The first, one thing about getting fired is despite there being warning signs, the shock of it is real. I heard over and over and over again from the people that reach out to me that the shock of being fired is earth-shattering. I mean, your world can crumble. And here's a simple way to look at it. If management decides they're going to fire you, they don't just say, we're going to fire him, and 2 hours later they call you in their office. They usually give themselves time. So if management gives themselves 2 weeks to prepare for firing you, you're not likely taking that time to prepare for it. It's not like an interview where you know the interview's coming, you've done your research, you get ready for it, blah, blah, blah. When you get fired, the management usually has time to prepare. And the fact that he was fired after coming back from PTO, getting very little sleep the day before, it's a big disadvantage to people like Jason. My second takeaway is the no warning is a big fucking red flag. Good organizations have stop gaps in their policies to ensure that people are not individually targeted and let go without due cause. There are times where getting fired, or if you have an organization, nonprofit or other, you need to let people go, right? But in doing that, your organization has to have the proper setup and guidelines to fire people properly. Because if your manager decides to go rogue as a nonprofit, that cannot be good. And you have to have a somewhat decent policy for protections so you can know what's coming and be prepared. That's something as a nonprofit organization, if you are going to fire people, you can't just decide we're letting them go, especially if it's not something egregious, right? I mean, I've seen nonprofits firsthand that have sexually assaulted coworkers, that have taken money from an organization, that have done really egregious things, and even those organizations will say, we're putting you on administrative leave. A week, 2 weeks, or something, because they have to do the proper process to fire you. And not just because of state or federal laws, but just because of doing good business, of being good people, being good stewards of donors and society as a whole. So the fact that this person does not believe, and it, I trust them, Jason does not believe he was giving proper warning, huge failure. And his freaking wife has medical needs and they fire him. I mean, come on, it's just bullshit. And my third takeaway is the after effects of being fired in the nonprofit space are real. Getting fired, period. But being fired in the nonprofit space is real. Because Jason messaged me the next day, or maybe it was the same day. We did a good back and forth exchange, and he had messaged me something that I thought was very, again, he was just so vulnerable with me, and I appreciate it. Shout out to you, Jason, one more time. He says, and I quote, "It also took the better part of a year to get past the firing event. I was working so hard to do a good job for the organization, but I had at least 2 panic attacks on the job before I was fired because I had no confidence that my work would be appreciated or that any single detail could get me fired. When I was finally able to get new insurance and a doctor's appointment, he started on some medication. I'm not going to put his business out there. I started seeing a therapist about 6 months after the firing. Only then did I start to get past the incident." Again, I've heard this over and over again of people saying, I was fired. And it just rocks you. It just rocks you because whether you see it coming or not, it hurts. And this goes back to communicating and having guardrails and allowing employees the ability to file grievances to management outside of your direct report. Because when the pathway to growth and protection and communication is not clear, you can really affect people's lives. You can really affect people's lives. And being able to have a nonprofit organization where, hey, we're warning you, like, we don't like the work, we don't think you're a good cultural fit, any number of reasons, but do it in a way that's actually respectful and gives people time to adjust. I've had that happen myself. I might talk about that in the next one. This episode's already getting kind of long. But that's something that is very, very, very important because the after effects are real. And there are so many people that reach out to me that said, I got fired and I was mad and angry and confused and depressed, and the people around me really had to lift me up because, to the best of their ability, because I had responsibilities. He's still got a wife. He's got a mortgage. He's got a car. He still has things that are on his plate. So for the most part, I'm going to wrap this up 2 minutes here, 3 minutes. For the most part, I have always found that the nonprofit space to honestly be a little slow with firing people. And part of it could be just the softer nature of the nonprofit sector compared to other industries where maybe there's not like a sales quota, or maybe it's not as conservative. And I don't mean conservative like liberal conservative, but compared to things like banking or insurance or government, you know, some certain industries like that where getting fired, maybe it could just be a little bit different. And I said it respectfully with the nonprofit piece being a little bit softer, but nonprofits they're not really known for being hotbeds for firing. Despite the high turnover rates, the layoffs, the lack of funding, you don't really hear about people getting fired a lot in the nonprofit space, but it is something that really does happen. And when it's done poorly, it can be devastating and have real effects. So, I mean, he questioned his confidence work-wise. When people get laid off, you don't really hear them talk about being losing confidence work-wise, right? Maybe they didn't have any money, or maybe you weren't really the best worker and you get laid off. You know, that can happen, but yeah, those are some real aspects to getting fired in the nonprofit space. So one more time, thanks again, Jason, for sharing your story. All right, let's move on. Dang, this is a real long episode. I was going to try to keep it at 15 minutes, but I needed an extra 15 minutes because if I was going to share Jason's story like I just did, I needed to give a proper amount of space. So a little bit of overtime here. One of the things I'm doing as a part of our Uncut series, 5 Fast Minutes, and I'm doing it in the regular episodes too, 5 Fast Minutes, and then kind of get you out of here. I want to talk about the Trump administration. Let's start with this. The nonprofit space can be quite used to instability. Now, there are some uber-rich nonprofits that can offer a level of stability when it comes to, you know, money or board or leadership. But a large portion of nonprofits are subject to the whims of donors, legislation, volunteers. I mean, I know some nonprofits that, depending on the weather, you know, if you're in disaster response, if you're in climate change, I mean, hell, the weather can affect your nonprofit. But this administration is bringing on a new level of shakiness I have not seen. Honestly, it didn't even look like this when Trump took office the first time. It looked nothing like this. The speed at which the first 100 days, and they're still ongoing, in which a lot of it is going to be, honestly, a lot of it's going to be bullshit, right? We already see lawsuits and rescindments. A lot of it is just trying to exhaust people to a degree. But let's be clear. The nonprofit tends to lean a little more left than right. Not by any super major margins or anything like that. But when you look at the three major stools of general workforce employment, you have for-profit or private slash private, I guess you say, for-profit, non-profit, and government. In the non-profit space, it still has plenty of conservative sectors. I mean, but not nearly as much as you may find, like I said, in like a for-profit business. Like, you know, if you go to a management fund on Wall Street, they're going to be a lot more conservative than even a child adoption agency in Kansas. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. So we know the nonprofit space can lean a little bit more left and right. And I compare it to like a gun shop. If you ever go to a gun shop, most gun shops are going to be more conservative than liberal. It's established. We know what it is. But there's things happening with the Trump administration right now that are very big. And a lot of nonprofits are unsure of what the future holds. And it would have been that way for honestly any. I think it would have been that way for any administration at the highest level, but it feels as if there's a moment in time specifically with this administration that is upending the conversations. I spent a lot of time on Reddit, which is, listen, Reddit has its downsides, but there are a lot of smart people that provide a lot of insights on Reddit, and I get a constant slew. Nonprofit Insider, you can find me on Reddit. Just search Nonprofit Insider, you can follow me. There is a slew of people constantly posting, oh my gosh, we just got notification about our DEI measure, got notification about our funding. The recent freeze that Trump administration put out and then rescinded like, what, 36 hours later, we might not get any funding. And it's clear that a part of it's by design. So I'll kind of end it with this. If you are in the nonprofit space, hold fast. That's what I would say. Hold fast, because more things are coming. You got to have a good amount of resources and reserves to handle this. Be sure to hire, bring on the best talent you possibly can. And really, if you're going to bring them on, bring these people on knowing you can keep them for some time, if you're nervous about funding, again, I talked about it earlier, right? high vacancy rates. A lot of it's because nonprofits will just freeze. They're like, we don't know what the future holds. We're not hiring people for 6 months. We usually would have these roles filled, but we need to wait a little bit because we're not sure. More is going to come. And I during the first, like, what is it? So we've had 58 episodes so far. During the first 50 episodes, I really didn't talk a lot of politics. I get a feeling I'm going to talk more about politics, not in terms of left or right or even Donald Trump, honestly, but in terms of the nonprofit space, because there are going to be a lot of things that are going to reverberate. And we're going to feel those effects. By summer, this might be a whole different podcast. We're going to bring on a lot of great leaders, a lot of smart people. I'm interviewing a lot of great people to give me some insights into this space, because as much as I know, I don't know it all. And I can't even, honestly, it feels like a drop in the bucket with the things that are going to be happening. So be sure to keep listening to the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. This was a long episode. This was like one of our traditional episodes. I'll drop the second episode of Getting Fired, a Nonprofit series. I have more stories to share. Maybe it'll just be an ongoing series because... My goodness. All right. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace.